The Saturday Light Brigade. It's now 15 minutes after 11 o'clock. And gosh, I just realized, you know, we did a sound check as you were listening, and I was talking to Greg Dutton, and I generally, before the mics come on, I'll say, everything okay? You feel comfortable? Are you ready? And I didn't even get a chance. I kind of forgot that you're here with us too, not just me and Greg, and that Greg might want to, you know, I mean, that's how personal it gets here. So excuse me a minute. Greg, everything okay?
Everything's great.
Okay, Greg's ready for you now, too. You know him from Ohio and from some other bands. And Greg's a great singer and songwriter. Today he's going to do some solo songs for us. We'll talk more about what he's been up to, but I'll just turn it over to him. This is Greg Dutton.
My friends in the street, they call out to me to come outside, waiting for the end of the summertime. And the birds and the bees, they don't know of me. I wait inside, waiting for the end of the summertime. Waiting for the end of the summertime.
Greg Dutton at the Saturday Light Brigade. Is that yours?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. Are you going to do Everything Is Yours today?
I'm going to do a couple songs that aren't mine. I'm going to do maybe a Neil Young song and maybe a Flaming Lips song too.
Interesting to see what Neil Young song you choose. I've been sort of singing Neil Young songs to myself over the last month or so, and I don't know why.
Yeah.
You know, I guess those are what, earwigs. They sometimes get called, these songs get stuck in your head for no apparent reason.
Yeah, mine's Journey, Don't Stop Believing. I'm not even a fan of that song, but it gets
stuck
in my head.
That's funny. I had one in my head the other day, and it's probably good that I can't remember it, but I could not. Do you remember what it was, Ricky? I had a song in my head, and I just kept singing it over and over, but it's not coming to me now.
That's when you know it's a good song. I mean, well, regardless if you like it or not, it means it works.
Yeah.
You know, it's a hooky song.
So, it's hard when you know somebody so well, but Greg, where reasonably well is from Ohio. You were raised there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I grew up on a farm in eastern Ohio near, well, it was a small town called Flushing. It's kind of close to Wheeling, West Virginia, not too far away from there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's okay. About a half an hour west.
What county is it in?
Belmont. It's actually a little bit north of, you play on a station
in
Muskingum, right?
In Muskingum.
Yeah, that's about, I grew up about a half hour north of there.
Of New Concord.
Or east of there, I
no,
guess.
No, folks might, we've had a number of calls from Ohio this morning, so it's quite possible people are hearing the local boy that done good here.
Maybe.
What brought you to Pittsburgh?
Well, when I graduated from college, I moved to New York for a little bit of time, but it was a kind of a big adjustment because I grew up on a farm outside of a small town and went to a nice size school, but it was kind of a rural school, Miami of Ohio. And then New York was kind of too big of a leap. So I still wanted to be in a city, but a little bit closer to home. So I ended up in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I would think, I like New York City a lot, but and, you know, I hate to sound like a cliche, you know, wouldn't want to live there. But especially, you know, if you're kind of used to that rural farm kind of environment. And then I think what would get me would be the constant din and buzz. And
it's funny. It does, for sure. And I could live, at the time, it was tough. I could probably live in New York now, you know, it's a great city. But that was the big adjustment is just like the constant stimulation from the city, you know, from growing up or kind of spending most of your life in an area where there's pretty serene, you know, to move to a place where there's just a constant buzz is a big adjustment.
Yeah. And you know, I live now in Avalon near Bellevue, near the north side of Pittsburgh. And, you know, I hear train whistles and towboats and airplanes and buses, every mode of transportation and cars, of course, and other things. And sometimes when I find myself camping or in the woods or in the country and the quiet is so loud, it almost makes it hard for me to sleep because it's just so, I mean that, it's so enveloping.
Yeah.
Making those adjustments from one extreme to the other, I think is difficult no matter which direction you're headed.
That's funny. Yeah, it's kind of true. My parents still live in the house that I grew up in. And so I go back to visit all the time. And yeah, on certain nights, you know, it's just dead silent. It's almost eerie, you know, when you do spend so much time in the city to go back and just have that much silence.
What would you like to do next?
I'll do a song called Winter Calling. It's a winter song that I wrote a couple years ago.
So from the end of summer to winter, you're you're seasonally oriented here.
I'm really jumping through. Yeah.
This is Greg Dutton.
The snow lays sideways on the trees. The coldest winter in 14 years. A mother woke her son from sleep. A gentle hand was laid upon his crown with wind. Calling, calling to me, calling, calling to me. Bundled tight in winter clothes, scattered footprints amongst the snow. Wandering further from our homes, with no direction towards the warmth, with winter calling, calling to me.
That's Greg Dutton at the Saturday Light Brigade. And how old was that song?
I maybe wrote it 2 winters ago.
Okay, so not too old. I'm always curious about ages of songs. Do you have a sense of what might be the earliest song you wrote that you still play?
I do, actually, because of this, I was practicing this morning trying to get my fingers awake, and the
we
oldest
do, we,
song...
We like to show musicians that there's an 11 a.m.
Yeah, no.
That's one of our... I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, yeah. I was practicing this morning because I haven't played a show in a little bit, and I'm going to play a song that's maybe 6 years old. But I tend to just play the songs that I have written the most recently, just because that's where my interest lies, you know? And I think a lot of musicians are probably want to be that way, but the more successful you are, the more you kind of have to carry those older songs along, you know?
Yeah. I think somewhat the human condition is we're always, I think there's a natural inclination, you know, to read new things and to listen to new music from other people, as opposed to picking up something older. You know, you're talking about musicians and the crosses they have to bear, you know. And my favorite example of this, and some may have heard me say this before, is Don McLean,
right,
is an amazing songwriter to this day. Is an incredible songwriter, banjo player, guitar player, other instruments as well. And I often, and he says he doesn't really mind, but, you know, he's the
right.
American bond
right.
man. And
right.
I can remember seeing him in concert and just people screaming American Pie all night. But he writes, you know, contemporary songs, and they're good songs.
Yeah.
And then I remember Jonathan Edwards, Ricky and I saw him once, and I don't know if you remember his big monster hit was Sunshine, Go Away Today,
okay,
Don't
yeah,
Feel
yeah.
Much Like. And he played it as the second song, and then, you know, he said, all right, that's out of the way now.
I've actually seen, yeah, it's funny. I go to a lot of shows, and actually growing up, where I grew up, there's always a country music festival that comes through every year called Jamboree in the Hills.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're very close to the Wheeling Jamboree in the Hills.
So every summer, since I was a little kid, we'd go to Jamboree in the Hills. And on a side note, my family actually runs a little campgrounds there. But one year, Lee Greenwood came. And I always tell this story, it's so funny. Lee Greenwood opened and closed the set with Proud to Be an American.
Yeah.
People wanted that song so badly that he
wow.
is the first song he played, and before he left the stage, he played it again.
It'd be funny if someday he just takes the stage and does the song like 20 times identically. Just, he just does it and does it and does it.
Yeah.
And I guess people have a, you know, somewhat of a right to want to hear those things, but everything in moderation, I guess. But
yeah.
And then you have the medley, right?
Right.
You know, a guy like Stevie Wonder has to put 20 songs into
just
8 minutes
yeah.
or so. But it's 11:30. You're listening to the Saturday Light Brigade. Greg Dutton is here. We probably have time for 3 or 4 more.
Okay.
We didn't have a chance to consult about your set list, but
that's fine.
It's great to have you here. What do you want to do next?
Well, I'll do that. I'll do that song that is going to be the oldest one in the set. Since we
okay.
talked about it a little bit.
This is Proud to Be an American.
Yeah.
yep. What's this one called?
This is called Fainting Goats.
Tuck yourself in at night and say it's all right to be alone. Read the letters you wrote that went to your heart and stuck in your throat. You never saw the use in you always is being so obtuse, but still you do. But still you do. But still you do. In the sink and think of the ones you loved before. On Saturday nights, you know it ain't right, still young. Never saw the use in you always being so too, but still you do.
How'd you do? Did you like it? It sounded good.
Thanks. That one's a tough one to remember.
Are you pretty self-critical, do you think? Most people are that create music and other forms of art.
Yeah, I would say. I would say so.
It's hard. Are you writing much currently?
Not as much as, not recently, I haven't as much. I'm going to play a couple songs that I've been writing recently. I'll probably play those. But yeah, I think that's a good point. I think most artists are probably critical because that's the way that you kind of get better. You learn how to edit yourself, you know, and I think that's probably a talent that you try to develop, you know, when you're any kind of art or any kind of thing that you're working towards, you know, is how to kind of edit yourself and figure out what it is that you make that's good or that at least is pleasing to yourself, you know?
Well, and I mean, only you know what you want.
Right.
And I think that's part of it, too, that even if somebody is a, even if you have a gifted musician in the audience, and I guess technical, quote-unquote technical errors aside, I mean, there's nuances and things that you really want to achieve,
right.
And you know what they are. It's the classic, somebody thinks you did a great set,
mm-hmm.
and you're, like, ready to take, you know, do a, I can't remember, I'm trying to think of the guy that smashes.
Like a Jimi Hendrix, or no, Pete Townsend.
Pete Townsend, yeah. Thank you. Gosh, that was going to bug me the rest of the day to smash the guitar. And it's funny because I know that this, you know, little thing I do, which I think is a little less difficult than that thing you're doing right now. There are days I think, oh my gosh, this was worst episode ever, you know, and then others will say, that was a really great show. Yeah, that was one of the best shows I've ever heard. I'm sure that's happened to you.
Yeah.
And I always, my comment to musicians or other friends that tell me they feel that way about their own work is, you have the worst seat in the house, you know, the one inside of your head, and that sees everything in the background, and it's tough to do that.
Yeah, I think whatever you're working towards, it's hard to be objective about it, you know, take a step back from it. And you're kind of never sure how you're going to connect with somebody or what somebody's going to latch on to. I mean, I'm like going back to the story of Don McLean. I mean, who knows if he thinks that's the best song he wrote, but that's the song that connects most with people, you
yeah.
know? And so I think as you're creating, whether it's your daily job or art or anything, is you're always going to be harder and kind of not know for sure what it is that people are going to latch on to, you know?
Yeah, it's a good point about Don McLean, too, because it is a good song. I mean, it's poetic, it's rich, you know, and commercial success and quality are not mutually exclusive,
mm-hmm, right,
necessarily, and sometimes we forget about that.
Yeah.
What kind of stuff do you like to listen to?
Pretty wide taste, but I think when... the type of music that I've listened to since I was young and still kind of carry on to is kind of like singer-songwriter stuff, you know. I think the first person that I really got into in a way where I listened to all their, went out and bought all their records was like Neil Young, you know, when I was maybe seventh or eighth grade. And this is still him and people in that vein, or that still kind of holds true that I listen to that type of stuff. But, you know, indie rock music, I'm always following, I follow pretty closely new bands that come out and that kind of stuff. And always like hungry for, you know, new sounds and new bands and that kind of thing.
This is, Greg Dutton. If, you're just joining us, You know him from, I'm trying to think, your musical group resume here, L'Ohio, of course.
Yeah, and I used to play in a band called Boca Chica. They actually just put a CD out, and lots of odds and ends, other bands, you know, here and there. But yeah, I mainly played in L'Ohio, and for a long while played banjo in Boca Chica.
So. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember Boca Chica. I forgot the banjo.
The reason I got that job is because I saw them play, and I'm in college. I made a banjo as an extra. I used to do like furniture classes, and this was kind of like an extra credit outside of school kind of thing.
What's your degree in?
Architecture.
Uh huh.
And so, so I made a banjo, not quite knowing how to play it. But then I saw them play, and I was like, oh, you know what? I can play banjo for you. And it was kind of motivation to learn how to play banjo and to use this thing that I made, because I hadn't really up to that point. So, and they needed one, so that's how I got the job.
That's something. I didn't know you had a degree in architecture.
Yeah, that's my main day job. I'm an architect in Squirrel Hill. So, but I do all kinds of odds and ends stuff, too. Like we were talking about, I do some light carpentry, and I work with the record label on the side too, so I always kind of have some things going here and there.
It's good. I think most people, it's a whole other discussion, but we may be getting to another age where, you know, Renaissance people are more possible than ever before, where you get to do a lot of different kinds of things.
Yeah,
it people throughout time have always been able to do that, but it seems to be getting a little easier to do so these days.
I think part of that too is like technology becoming more accessible to people and a little less expensive. Like with music, especially, it used to take 20 years ago to make a record was a huge thing because it was such a money investment, and you know only certain people had studios. But now, you know, technology has driven down the cost of that, and everybody can kind of have their home studio and get to hear what their songs sound like recorded, you know, and played back to them.
I was going to say, and can play in perfect.
Yeah, you know, that's just, there's so much music out there now, you know, it's great.
Greg Dutton's here, and I should let you, I was going to say do what you do best, but you're a good talker too, but you do have a guitar sitting there, so.
Okay, we'll do one called Winter, We'll Hide Ourselves Underneath. As delicate as the evening snow, dusting across some gravel road, whispered soft into his ear to go, folding your hands inside your coat, off to the winter wind. Far from the wicked kiss, the moon and the willow tree. We'll hide ourselves underneath. When you were young, certain lies were told to fill in the truth you couldn't possibly know. You held on for a year or so, all for the words that held you close, off to the winter well, far from the wicked kiss, the moon and the willow tree.
ourselves underneath. To the winter well, far from the wicked kiss, the moon and the willow tree.
Nice song.
Thank you.
Not to make this a continued therapy session or anything, but why architecture? I can't believe I never knew that.
Why architecture?
Is that a boyhood dream?
Sometimes I ask myself that too.
You can ask me why chemical engineering anytime you wish. You can ask me that.
You know what? I think it's because it was something. I think my mind kind of balances two ways, artistically, but also there has to be like a certain amount of logic to it. And so it seemed like a career path that you could kind of practice art in a way that was that you could have a career in it with some security. You know,
mm-hmm.
I don't think I had at the time when I was a kid or when I was, you know, going into college at 18. I don't think I had quite the guts to go and get like a pure arts degree in like say painting or something like that.
Did you think about it? I mean, were you?
I thought about music a lot, and I always liked other disciplines. But as a kid, I wasn't formally trained in painting and that kind of thing. So it seemed like kind of a leap. But, you know, that's all stuff I really enjoy. And I think being a little bit older, I just realized that those are things that, you know, if you put the time into and you have the desire to do it, you can kind of, you can do those things for a career, you know. You don't have to make that choice.
It's funny. I didn't choose. I really liked writing and also broadcasting,
mm-hmm.
or journalism. And I remember at the age of 18 thinking, I don't know if it was being I think it's the same thing you're describing, and I can't, it's not so much fear, but it was like, gosh, what am I going to do if I study this and it doesn't work out, or I've got, this is a 17-year-old kid doing this analysis.
Right.
I might look at it differently today, but studying engineering, thinking I'm going to learn how to think, this is a disciplined way of doing stuff, I can continue to do these other things, albeit, you know, without a degree, and maybe one will inform the other, and the two will,
uh-huh.
you know.
I understand that, where, you know, it might be that thing too, where you don't quite see the path that clearly. If you wanted to follow journalism or broadcasting, or if I wanted to follow some other type of art or music, I didn't really have, I'd never seen anybody that made a career out of it, so I couldn't quite see the path through it, you know, and I was like, you know, I know people can be an architect and make a living at it. And so it seemed like, well, maybe this is the choice I should make, you know? So I think it's harder when you don't quite see where you're going to end up to kind of, sometimes it's hard to make that leap, you know?
Yeah. And I think a lot of people, think those decisions are irreversible,
mm-hmm.
or, are on, I mean, you end up at a launching point no matter what happens.
Right,
you still end up at another launching point. But it's I haven't thought about that stuff. I got to let you get back and play here.
No.
But, you know, it's only been in the last, I would say, 10 years that I've gotten to know a few architects really well.
Mm-hmm.
And not to lump all disciplines in the same category. But I am amazed. Just about every architect I know looks at problems or analyzes situations differently than I typically would, which is so cool. I mean, everybody looks at problems differently, and not to lump people in the same direction, but it's got to be. The reason I'm bringing this up is I'll bet you there's aspects of songwriting and even guitar playing that architecture, your classical training there would somehow impact you a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's a great degree to get if you're going into the arts, because it's just what you're talking about. You might go in, like maybe you're programmed that way genetically, but when you go into an architecture degree, there's a certain discipline that they teach you, you know, in a certain way to approach a set of problems or a project or your art, you know, that teaches you kind of how to develop it in a certain way. And so I approach songwriting that way, you know, the same way that I kind of learned how to approach designing a building. I set that same framework around when I go to write a song.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it's the constraints and the discipline of navigating them.
But, yeah, yeah.
Greg Dutton's here. We got, I think we have time for two more.
Okay.
One or two, it's your choice. I don't want to wear you out.
No, not at all. Let me see, which one can I do? Which one can I do well? Well, I might not do this one as well, but it's a new song, so I'm excited to play it. So let's see if I can do it. It doesn't have a title yet. On my list, it's written as new song.
I like those kind of songs.
Will you leave us when you go? Sarah leaves the room. A ghost across the window. This across the shelf reminds me of a summer sleep. Ah. Will you leave us when you go? Sarah in the room, the wind across the wind.
That's Greg Dutton at the Saturday Light Brigade. I like that. The waltz works, and it's a nice song. It's a nice song for this time of the morning.
Thank you.
Too. As Greg was playing, the largest collection of, I'm guessing 4- and 5-year-olds came in. You might not be able to see them. Not into the studio, but just out in the theater outside of us, and it was an interesting juxtaposition. I was making my own little music video as they came in, sort of turning cartwheels. It's somebody's birthday out there. I can't tell whose, but I see a birthday tiara being worn and a couple pointy party hats. Is there anything you wanted to mention that I haven't asked you, or I don't know if you're playing out anywhere or wanted to mention any?
You know what? I haven't played in a show in a while, but I am going to play at Club Cafe, and I believe it's January 25th, but you might have to check their calendar to be sure.
Is that
sure.
like a middle of the week, Wednesday?
Yeah, I think
Thursday?
It's a Wednesday. Yeah, an old friend from New York is coming through. Her name is Jay May, and she's going to play a show, and she's really great, if anybody is a fan of hers. But I met her probably 8 years ago when I first moved to New York, and she's coming through, and I'm gonna play the show with
great.
Her.
Yeah. I'll check the date while you're playing your last song here.
Cool.
Once again, Greg Dutton.
Thanks. This is I'm gonna play a Flaming Lips song. It's called Do You Realize? Do you realize that you have the most beautiful face? Do floating in space, do you realize that happiness makes you cry? Do you realize that everyone you know someday? But instead of saying all of your goodbyes, let them know you realize that life goes fast. It's hard to make the good things last. You realize the sun don't go down. It's just an illusion caused by the world spinning. Floating in space, do you realize that happiness makes you cry? Do you realize that everyone you know someday? Instead of saying all of your goodbyes, let them know you realize that life goes fast. It's hard to make the good things last. You realize the sun don't go down. It's just an illusion caused by the world spinning.
Greg, thank you very much.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
For being here. And make a note, it's Wednesday, January 25th. That's when you'll be at Club Cafe.
Cool.
With Jay May. And that looks like it's going to be a good show. I was taking a look at that as you were playing. And an email from a very perceptive listener, Craig in Macon, Georgia. Great set, he writes. Architects are like artistic engineers. They have a way of reasoning through a problem, but also must respect the sensibilities of their clients and themselves.
That's really well said.
Yeah, very, very well said.
I'll take that compliment if I can get lumped in with that.
Yeah, why not? Thank you very much, Greg.